Okay. Good morning. Good morning. The Committee on Military Veterans Affairs, Space, and Domestic Security will now come to order. Lois, please call the roll.
Senator Altman.
Is it?
Chair Gibson.
Here.
Senator Evers. Senator Sachs. Yes. Senator Starger. Quorum present, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Senator Altman has, Chair Altman has an excused absence. And first, we'd ask that everyone silence all of their electronic devices. Anyone wishing to speak before the committee, please complete an appearance form and give it to the administrative assistant. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be read into the record. And today we have a committee bill. It is under tab 1. It's SPB 7070. By Military and Veterans Affairs, Space, and Domestic Security relating to advisory councils of the Department of Veterans Affairs. And Margaret, our committee analyst, will explain the proposed bill. Margaret, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. During the 2011 regular session, the Florida Veterans Hall of Fame was created to honor veterans who, through their works and lives during or after military service, made a significant contribution to the state of Florida. The Florida Veterans Hall of Fame Council is responsible for annually accepting nominations for the Hall of Fame. The Council is allowed to establish the criteria and the process for selecting Hall of Fame nominees. The Governor and Cabinet ultimately select the nominees to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Florida National Guard members who were never called to serve on active duty may not meet the definition of veteran as defined in Florida statutes upon separation from the service. As such, those National Guard members with no federal active duty service are currently not eligible for induction into the Florida Veterans Hall of Fame. Senate Proposed Bill 7070 allows the Florida Veterans Hall of Fame Council to consider former members of the Florida National Guard for induction into the Florida Veterans Hall of Fame. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Margaret. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, we have one appearance form. Colonel Mike Prendergast with the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The department waives in support of this good bill to honor Florida's National Guard members.
Thank you. So, Senators, is there any debate on the proposed bill? Seeing none, Senator Stargell moves that SPB 7070 be submitted as a committee bill. Seeing no objections, Lois, please call the roll on SPB 7070.
Senator Evers? Senator Sachs?
Yes.
Senator Stargell?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Senator Altman?
And by your vote, SPB 7070 is favorably reported as a committee bill. Now, Senators, under tab 2, we have a joint presentation by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and the Florida Division of Emergency Management on domestic security funding. Here today is Donna Uzel, FDLE Special Agent in Charge, and Brian Kuhn, Director of Division of Emergency Management. Who wants to start? Okay. Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Donna Uzel. I'm a special agent in charge at FDLE. I also serve as Florida's Homeland Security Advisor. I'm here with Director Kuhn to talk about Florida's domestic security process and then our 2016 funding recommendations. As most of you are aware, that Florida's domestic security authority is mentioned and highlighted in Florida Statute 94303. It mandates the responsibility for coordinating responses for acts of terrorism and other matters related to domestic security to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, but it recognizes the importance of many public and private disciplinary partners like the Department of Emergency Management in accomplishing our domestic security mission. There are six focus areas that we look at: prevention, prevent, protect, mitigate, respond, and recover from any acts that could impact Florida's domestic security. Now, I can tell you, we have a very robust and comprehensive process in Florida. In fact, it's probably one of the most robust processes in the nation. It starts with the boots on the ground, which is our regional domestic security task forces. And in preparation for today, I wanted to kind of give you an idea of just how many people are involved in these recommendations that help us with our planning, our strategic plan, as well as our funding recommendations. And in looking across our seven regions, there are actually 2,000 participants on our domestic security task forces. And they are multidisciplinary. They come from all different sectors of our domestic security process. These task forces, they are coordinated by 8 planners, 1 coordinator statewide, and then 7 regional planners across the state. And to give, these are grant-funded planners, and I will say their grant funding expires in 2016. But to give you an idea of what they do, they're the ones who coordinate these meetings. They're the ones that update and enhance our prevention plans. They are the ones who help assist in the coordination of training and exercises. Many of you may have seen in the paper this weekend Operation Heat Shield, which was a massive active shooter coordinated event in Miami, Florida, training exercise that crossed several venues and multiple agencies. They're also working with the Department of Health on another multi-region exercise that will be coming soon in our state. They assess critical infrastructure. They provide information to the fusion centers. And on the assessment of critical infrastructure, I just want to say that that's the kind of information that gets up to the Department of Homeland Security that ends up impacting the amount of funding that we have in our state. As I said, they're grant-funded positions. They expire in 2016. And I will say, as we work through the legislative appropriation process, we would appreciate your support in recognizing the critical need for these positions. So just to kind of give you an overview again, you've seen this slide before. These are the amount of, this is the type of disciplines that are represented in our task forces. The task force is chaired at the local level by a sheriff and co-chaired by a special agent in charge from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Our state working group has several committees: critical infrastructure protection, planning operations, equipment and logistics. Campus security is actually broken down through K-12 as well as post-secondary education, training and exercise, and interoperable communications. These working groups have public and private sector folks on it that help develop our strategies as well as work to the promotion of our funding recommendations. And then finally, we have the Domestic Security Governance, which is our oversight council mentioned in statute. You can see how represented all the agencies are, and they're the ones who provide these recommendations that Brian will talk to you about, not only on the funding, but they also provide the oversight on our domestic security planning and our strategy for our state. So in order to get to the funding process, a lot goes into it. There's a capability review. All these 2,000 members of their teams come up with recommendations of how to fill gaps, if there are any gaps that are identified. The state working group reviews it. The peer review panel reviews it. We have regional members voting on these funding recommendations. And if there's one thing I can promise you is there's a lot of discussion and input that goes into getting us to the recommendations that Director Kuhn is going to share with you today. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Director Kuhn, who's going to talk to you about these funding recommendations.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Senators. This year's funding request totals $30.7 million. This is more than we received last year and likely more than we will receive this year. Last year, we received about $21 or $22 million. We always put in more dollars there and more projects in case we receive more funding than we anticipated, we did last year, and also in case some of the projects aren't able to be completed, we have other projects that we can shift towards. We won't know the total number that we'll receive from the Department of Homeland Security until next month. For comparison purposes, we request $14 million in the State Homeland Security Program. Last year, we received about $11 million. The Urban Area Security Initiative, we request $14.46 million in authorization, but last year we had just over $8 million. So those are the numbers that we'll more likely we'll see from the DHS next month. The as Donna mentioned, the process to determine these projects is a mature one in Florida that's been in place now for a number of years. So too are the projects that you see before you today. The number, the dollars that we see from the Department of Homeland Security are nowhere near the levels that we saw in the mid-2000s. However, they are stable at this point for the last number of years. And so the projects you see, I think if you'll look across there, You will see the words sustainment and maintenance continuous throughout almost every one of those projects. These projects are designed to help continue the capabilities that we have built in the state of Florida, either to sustain teams, to sustain individuals, ongoing projects, to make sure that the capabilities that we have developed in the state of Florida continue to be able to utilize in the state of Florida, and also to support the equipment that we have purchased in the state of Florida, as well as training and exercise for those. So as you look through those, you will see projects like law enforcement specialty teams, hazmat teams, fusion centers, law enforcement data sharing, critical needs, funds to support the state agricultural response team, urban search and rescue training, cybersecurity training, hazmat training, radio communications, and then nuclear radio detection, antenna towers, and such. On this page, it's not shown on the slide. We anticipate funding for the first three of those projects. Everything below the third project on this slide and on the next slide, we do not anticipate that we will have funding for, but as I said earlier, if we receive additional funding beyond that level that we had last year, or any of the projects on the first 2.5 pages are unable to be accomplished, then we would go beyond that line, and we will have already vetted those projects and received authorization for those projects. So we include those should we have the ability to fund them this year. And, Senators, that concludes my presentation of the State Homeland Security Grant projects for this year. I welcome any questions that you have.
Are there any questions? I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So, when you talked about the first three on, even with my glasses on, I can't see the slide. So, is it the?
it's
and there's no
this slide right
numbers.
Here. Yeah, the FRT sustain and maintenance.
With?
We anticipate enough funding to get through that project. Every other project would fall below the funding line at this point. But again, if there were additional dollars that were not spent in the projects above that, they could be applied towards projects below that line.
Okay. And then the slide with the $30 million, is that all, that's all federal?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's the grant that will expire? Or which grant will expire? I didn't quite understand.
Well, all four of these, I have a period of performance in there. The funding levels will not come through at the dollars indicated here, more than likely. We put projects in to that level in the case that we get additional funding, and also so that if we don't spend all of them on the initial projects, we can move down the line. I'm sorry.
The regional domestic security planners that I mentioned, the grant that they're funded out of expires in 2016, and they are not included in the following year's funding. As funding decreased across the levels that Director Kuhn mentioned, we ended up always assuming that those positions should be funded by the legislature because they should be sustained beyond the grant and institutionalized. So we got FTE for them, I think, in 2005, and now we've kind of matured as far as we can in the grant process, and we were looking for funding to fund those positions from this point forward. So that's what's in our LBR.
Okay, in our state budget.
Yes.
Okay.
The request is in our state budget. Mm-hmm. State LBR.
And then the last question I have, because in some of the lines I see certain areas of the state mentioned. So obviously this is a plan for all 67 counties. So, but some counties then have more needs to shore themselves up than others. How do you decide how you're going to spread the money across the state?
Well, a lot of that is that all that heavy lifting is done in the Regional Domestic Security Task Force and the State Working Group and the Domestic Security Oversight Council, as Sac Uzel highlighted. The fact is that there are different threats and vulnerabilities around the state.
Okay.
The way we fund the programs, though, we attempt to maximize the usage of all of the programs that you see before us. So even though they may reside in a single jurisdiction, they are designed to be used throughout that region and throughout the state. And so we try to do everything we can to make sure that we're utilizing those teams, those individuals, those capabilities as widely across the state as possible.
And what's the budget? What's the amount you need for the regional
600, I believe it's 643,000.
Okay. Any no questions? No questions? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Senator Evers?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you have a motion?
No, but I have a request.
You can request your motion.
Okay. I would like to be shown voting in the affirmative for SPB 7070.
Show that. Done. Adopted.
Yeah, without objection.
Without objection.
Yeah.
I'm granting
we
you
got
that.
To, yeah, we got to do it without objection.
Okay. All right. Well, seeing no other business before the committee, Senator Evers, move we adjourn without objection.
Thank you.
Senator Evers?